Good morning, everybody. It's National Bible Sunday. So you are invited to open your Bibles, the Pew Bibles that's near you, to follow the readings. And then also, I've been informed you'll need them for the sermon. Our first reading is Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning at the first verse. That's on page 757 of the Brown hard copy Pew Bibles there. Jeremiah 23, beginning of verses 1 to 6. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Whakarongu ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Kia mau tonu tana kupu ki a tātou. And our gospel reading for today is from the Gospel of Mark. Two readings from the chapter 6, page 974 in the Pew Bible. So Mark 6, beginning, the readings are verses 30 to 34 and then 53 to 56. So beginning at verse 30. And this follows on from Jesus sending out the 12. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And now moving to verse 53. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard that he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let him touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Te rongapai tēnei a te ka aiti. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe mititia ea te kupu mana.
From the tall person to the short person. Kia ora tātou, ko Penny aho. I'm Penny. Welcome very much this morning. I was looking at the rain yesterday and I thought, oh, well, it's like this. We're going to be lucky to get a half a dozen people to church this morning. So, yeah, it was quite some weather yesterday. So, hands up, who likes the story of the feeding of the 5,000? Yeah? Okay, well, be here next week, because Mark's going to talk about that then. So, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? You know, why they've set these readings the way that they have. And I thought quite hard about that, and I thought, obviously, there's a pearl in there, at least one. And they didn't want these bits before and after these dramatic events to get lost. So that's what we're looking at today. And because it was kind of disjointed and National Bible Sunday, I thought it was a good reason to get out the good book. Yeah? So it is useful to have your Bibles handy for the Mark 6 readings, or just in Mark anyway, because I'm going to do a bit of a flip through to remind us where we've come from and to give us a sense of place as to where we are in the story. Because you remember how Mark talked about, when he started the series on Mark, about how Mark, the apostle, writes at a whirlwind pace. You know, there's just a bit, this happens, and then that happens, and then this happens. So let's journey together in this. And I thought we might do this as a role play. So I'd like you to pick a disciple, pick an apostle, and pretend that you are one of them as I run through this series. So I'll just name them, because I had to remind myself of a couple of them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I think we all got that. Then there are two Jameses. James, son of Zebedee, the brother of John, and James, the son of Alphaeus. Peter, Simon, different to Peter, Andrew, Judas, Bartholomew, Philip, and Thaddeus. So, you ready? Pick your apostle. First thing I want to note is that Jesus was really, really popular. He had crowds following him. He was so busy healing, he didn't even have time to greet his own family at the end of chapter 3. Remember that? And I hadn't really realized this until I was preparing for the sermon, but crowd management was one of the apostles' roles. You know, it was a really important thing. Evidently, they always had a boat ready. You know, so that Jesus could get away from the crowd and teach. In chapter 4, we hear a few examples of Jesus teaching in parables. And you might remember me another time defining a parable as a story which you can read on two levels. The first time you read it, you think, oh yeah, that's pretty apparent, you know, it's pretty simple. And then it bites again and you think more deeply about it and what it means. That must have been quite a challenge for his listeners, you know, because he was doing quite a lot of it. So all these pearls going in and then more to process. And then unsurprisingly, being human and fully divine, our Lord Jesus, after all this hard work and people contact, Jesus falls asleep in the back of the boat. You know, even with the waves and the storm, we've got a good feel for what that was like after yesterday, don't we? You know, he falls asleep. And the apostles say, don't you care, we're going to die. And everything goes calm, but like it is this morning. And you can just, you know, as an apostle, you can just imagine that, how that felt. Whoa, even the wind and the waves obey him. When they get to the shore at Gerasenes, or in some Bibles they call it Gadarenes, so there's the same place, two different names, not sure why, probably two different dialects. They're greeted by a wild man, a man that is tormented by not just one, but a legion of evil spirits, which Jesus casts out. Well, that was such a scary experience that all of the locals got together and begged Jesus to leave. Back on the other side of the lake, Jesus heals a woman unclean because of constant bleeding. Then he raises his Jairus' daughter from the dead. Awesome, awesome. On the other hand, you hear Jesus criticized and belittled by those who know him best in his hometown. Kind of just, it's quite a roller coaster, isn't it? How's it going in your role playing? As an apostle, tell me how it feels. How does it feel to be so close to someone who does these things, keeps doing these things? every day. Exciting? Yeah? Exhilarating? Exhausting? How's your stress levels? Your heart rate? What I was saying is that you might be braver than I am, but I would find it pretty scary at that point to be sent out, even if I had a buddy with me, to preach and to heal and to cast out demons. It just seems pretty scary and full on. But, you know, the Lord directs us, and we often find ourselves doing things that we don't expect. Do you find that? You just kind of, you turn around and you think, how did I end up here? And it's through the Lord. And a little later, while the apostles were still on tour, John the Baptist is beheaded. And you hear about it. And then you realize that he was preaching repentance, just like you are. Bit of an awkward moment there. Our story tells us of how the disciples come back from their amazing mission, successful. And they're excited. But just thinking about all these events and the expectations of being an apostle makes me feel tired. And that can be true for you and me as well. Certainly true for me. When we're out there being Jesus' voice and his hands and his feet, it is exciting. But it takes a lot of doing. So, okay, let's get back to reality. Let's review what we can learn from our role play, being one of the 12 disciples. The first thing is that that Jesus chose them. He chose these 12 men to be his messengers. For him, that had been given all authority. Well, thank goodness they didn't give it to me, is what I have to say on that one. But, you know, the Great Commission, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And what did he call them to? He called them to follow him, and to follow his lead. To follow him and to follow his lead. Why did he choose them? Sometimes I wonder this about me. Why did he choose them? Well, you see, Jesus knew the disciples better than they knew themselves. He knew what they could achieve. He knew what they were capable of. They went under his blessing. They weren't going it alone. They were going under his blessing. When he sees them report back and being surrounded by more demands, they couldn't even grab a sandwich. Jesus knows what they need. And this, I think, is the crux of this week's passage. He says in verse 31, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." I'll read that again. Just close your eyes and let it wash over you. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Which begs the question, how often do you go with Jesus and rest in him? How often do you let it all go? You know, shake it out. That's what he asks of us. To go with him. Alone. To a place where we won't be disturbed. Just to be with him. I remember a friend of mine, Corinna, who was a young mum at the time, saying that she craved time in the toilet because it was the one place the kids wouldn't follow. Another, one of my great aunts I was thinking about,
in the 1800s, she used to, when it got to moments like this, throw her apron up over her head. And her 14, I think, children knew not to bother her when the apron was over the head. I find it easiest to rest when I'm on retreat. But even then, I have to admit that I'm likely to break into worship or something similar. That's not what Jesus says. He just says, rest, rest. Let everything go and just be. And P.S., I love you. In Isaiah, God puts it this way, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. So I'm very much still a work in progress on this one. I'm not at all good at resting. Terrible would be a better descriptive adjective. In fact, while I was writing the sermon, and I can't do it holding a handheld mic, but my husband asked me if I knew the exercise of simultaneously patting your head while you rub your stomach. Do we want to just stand up for a second and try it? Come on, let's just do this. Okay, come on, stand up for a second. Okay. Rub your stomach, pat your head. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, okay. All good. Thanks, take a seat. It's not particularly easy, is it? It's a bit confusing. Yeah. Well, my comment to Russell was that I find it much easier to do that than to stop, you know, to just do nothing. It's much, much easier to do that crafty exercise than it is to stop. I just got to keep moving. You get the point. But the thing is that there is such treasure there, you know, in the quiet with Jesus. When we take that time, when we stop, so much more makes sense. Even if we don't know it makes sense at the time, it makes sense. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." By coming and listening and resting, we have an opportunity to get Jesus' perspective, the kingdom perspective on what's happening, and we're restored. Our burdens are made light. That first song, Bruce and I had no discussion about music at all this week. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. And, you know, even Jesus took time out to rest. If you look in Mark, just a little bit further on, in the middle of our readings, in fact, in verses 45 to 47 of chapter 6, I think it is, he actually says to his disciples, okay, he says, you guys go, get on the boat. I'm going up the mountain. I got to take time out. So if Jesus had to do it, we got to do it. And throughout his ministry, Jesus was and his disciples were surrounded by people in need. People that wanted to be led, they wanted to be healed, they wanted to be freed from bondage to various things. And I think it's interesting how similar this list is to the Old Testament reading that we heard from Jeremiah, where Jeremiah describes the people as lost, afraid. In fact, he calls them terrified and uncared for. I'm sure that, like me, you see people in our community that are in that place today. Maybe one's just sprung to mind now. And our diocesan mission for the Waikanae Anglican Diocese is to them. It calls us to look after the last and the lost and the least. As Mark said last week, we need to do the right thing when we meet them. We need to look through Jesus' eyes to go, to speak, to do as he leads us. And you know, sometimes it's as simple as a friendly word. Sometimes it's practically helping. Sometimes it's listening. Sometimes it's offering healing or prayer. Sometimes it's about sharing what we have or what we know. And when we get these opportunities, Jeremiah tells us this amazing, some amazing examples we can share about how God will remedy their situation. He'll gather the remnants of their his flock. And he knows he longs. We know Jesus longs to have a relationship with every one of us. We're part of his flock. He gives them pasture. That's a home and a place where they are well fed. He'll make them fruitful. They'll multiply. What they have will grow. They'll be tended and looked after. Safe, confident. Most importantly, they'll be found by him. That's the Good Shepherd, our righteous Savior, the one who puts things right. These are great promises to share. But we must keep coming back to Jesus, spending time with him alone in the quiet place, taking time to get some rest, to stay tuned in to him. Just as Jesus had compassion on his disciples and cared for them, we need to have compassion on ourselves. None of us are Energizer bunnies. We can't just keep going forever. If we try and do God's work in our own strength rather than in his strength, things don't go as well. If we keep our eyes on the Good Shepherd, Jesus, he'll show us where to make the right choices, where to be compassionate, where and how to teach, how to heal. Jesus, being fully divine, knows and has authority over all things. Jesus, being fully human, knows our weaknesses. And he knows that we need rest. He chose you and he chose me, and he'll guide us so that we are well fed, fruitful, confident, and looked after. It takes faith and courage as we follow Jesus. Not only does he call us to follow his lead, but remember, he also calls us to come away with him, just by ourselves, him and you, to take time to be restored. And that's the invitation I want to leave you with today. To be a human being, not a human doing. To be one loved and chosen to go with the Good Shepherd and to get some rest. Amen.
Thank you, Penny. Please stand for our next song, and that'll be followed by communion.